Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome back once again. Jesus founded his church on 12 apostles. 12 very frail, very ordinary men from nowhere. You know, Nazareth, it was the backwater of the Roman Empire. But that church grew with astonishing speed and steadily. And if you ever investigate the reason why, you know what you'll discover? You come to discover that it was because of the witness of the saints. Their witness moved people's hearts. The church grew because of the witness of saints like Agnes, the 12-year-old girl who stared down the power of the Roman Empire and didn't flinch. They told her to worship the emperor. She said, "No, I worship Jesus Christ." They threatened her with death. She was not afraid. People saw that, and their hearts were moved. The church grew because of the witness of men like the Irish martyr Matthew Lambert, martyred in Ireland in the 16th century, a time when the church in Ireland was illegal. They hauled him into court. They threatened him with death. They read the charges against him. They asked him, "What is your defense?" And he answered, "I'm just a poor baker. I don't even understand the charges that you've drawn up against me. But I know that I'm on trial because of the Catholic faith, and I will not deny that faith." People saw that and they were moved. Sir Edmund Burke speaking before the British Parliament about the church in Ireland under persecution. He said, "We've killed their priests, we've burned their churches, we've scattered their flocks to the four winds, and what do we have to show for our efforts but the most loyally Catholic nation on the face of the earth?" People were moved. But nobody was ever moved. Nobody was ever attracted to the Catholic faith because somebody tried to make it sound easy. They were attracted because it was hard. Jesus speaks some hard words in the gospel here today. "Whoever loves father or mother, whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And if you don't take up your cross and follow after me, you're not worthy of me. And if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it." Hard words. And you know, you got to appreciate it sometimes when someone tells you the cost right up front, doesn't try to sugarcoat their words. You got to at least appreciate the fact that they pay you the compliment of being honest. I remember once when I was in high school, there was an assembly. And at that assembly, there was a Marine Corps recruiter. He was recruiting for the Marine Corps. Imagine this, you know, gymnasium full of high school boys. He gets up there and he says, "You know, I'm here to recruit for the Marine Corps, but I got to be honest with you. Most of you can't cut it. You don't have what it takes physically, and you're probably not mentally tough enough either. But if you think maybe you have it, I'll be over at that table at the end of the assembly." What happened at the end of the assembly? Every kid gathered around that table, right? Pay you the compliment of being honest. They tell you it's tough right up front. I had a spiritual director once. Very first meeting I had with him, he said to me, "If you don't make prayer the top priority of your life, just don't bother calling me to make another appointment, because you'll be wasting my time and yours." Tough words. Jesus has tough words. Tells you the cost right up front. And do you realize these words were harder to hear when he first said them than they are now? We've got 2,000 years of perspective on these words. But try to imagine hearing this for the first time. If you love son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. Is there any love in this entire world stronger than the bond of a parent to a child? Answer: no, there's not. That's the strongest bond of love in the entire world. Along comes somebody who says, "If you don't love me more than that, you're not worthy of me." And you think to yourself, who do you think you are, God? And then he says, "If you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me." Now, we've got 2,000 years of perspective on that. We know that the cross was followed by the resurrection. But this is the first time Jesus ever says, "Take up your cross." When they heard that, all they could think of was an instrument of torture and death. "Take up your cross and follow me," right? Very, very hard words. The only way to understand these words is to understand two things. Understand what the worship of God means and understand who God is. First of all, the worship of God. Let's take the word worship. What does worship mean? Worship is basically the amalgamation of two words, worth and ship. Literally, we cram them together. Whatever you worship is whatever you give the most worth to in your life. Everyone worships something. It's only a question of what. As you sit right there in this church, right now, there's something in your life that comes in first. Something that's always on your mind, gets you up out of bed in the morning, something that motivates you, something you're always thinking about, always working for. Everyone has something in their life that comes in first. Whatever that thing is, plays the role of God in your life. God, by definition, cannot come in second. The only question to ask is, do you worship the real God? Or have you propped up for yourself an idol? A lot of people do, you know. A lot of people, they order their entire life around some relationship, or they order their entire life around making more money. They'll let their families burn to the ground to get just one more buck. You've seen it happen. Do you worship the real God? Or have you propped up for yourself an idol? The reason why Jesus can say what he says is because of who God is. Now understand this. God isn't just good. God is the very existence of goodness itself. There is no good apart from God. God isn't just love or do loving things or say loving things. God is the very existence of love itself. And God doesn't just, you know, like tell you the truth. God is the truth itself. When that is number one in your life, guess what happens? All the other loves in your life are more perfect and more pure because they're separated from all of your own self-seeking and corruption. What happens when other people put other things first in their life? Do they love other people more or less? A lot less. You've seen it happen, right? Some people, they'll let the whole world burn to the ground, but not their business. They'll let the whole world burn to the ground, but, you know, not their little project. Only when you love God first, only then do you really love others. That's why Jesus can say what he says. It's also why he can say, whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, let's understand what that means, okay? First of all, let's understand what a cross is. What's a cross? Now, notice, Jesus does not say, whoever doesn't, like, bear your burdens and put up with your sufferings isn't worthy of me. He's not talking that way. He says, carry your cross. What's a cross? Well, a cross is a metaphor for Jesus' cross. Jesus' cross was a burden he carried for somebody else's well-being, namely our well-being. Jesus didn't create sin. Jesus didn't initiate sin, but he did pay the price for sin. He carried a burden for somebody else's well-being. That's what a cross is. A real simple example, okay? Imagine this. Imagine you're taking on a picnic, and your friend forgets to bring a lunch, and you pull out of your bag a great big long foot-long hoagie roll, and there's your friend with nothing. Do you sit there and eat the whole hoagie roll while your friend starves to death? No, you break it in half and you give him some of yours, right? My sacrifice for your well-being, that's a cross. Maybe you've got a friend who's in the hospital. Maybe you had other plans for that weekend, but now your friend's in the hospital. You throw your plans out the window and you go visit your friend in the hospital. It's a cross, right? A burden that I carry for your well-being, that's what a cross is. And it's not something that you drag behind you either. You pick it up and you take it. You choose it. Understand when you see Jesus on a cross, understand this. He chose that. Please don't look at a cross and think that one day Jesus was murdered, right? That this is like a really bad day in Jesus' life. No. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He can do anything he wants. He's omnipotent in heaven, earth, and under the earth. He's on the cross because he chose the cross. Now, he didn't choose sin, didn't choose its consequences, but he did choose to redeem us. Whenever we take up a burden that we're not responsible for the well-being of somebody else, we act like him. You want to be his follower? That's the price. I'll even help you a little bit. I'll give you a little prayer you can say. You can say this prayer every morning, and I think you'll find this very easy to remember, too. Wake up in the morning and just say these words. Lord, today help me to make someone else's burden lighter. Maybe you can repeat that prayer sometime later in the day. Help me, Lord, to make somebody else's burden lighter. If you begin in the habit of living like that, you're carrying the cross. You're living as his disciple. You're living a good life. You ask the secular world, what does it mean to live a good life? They'll say, well, a good life is when you don't have to carry any burdens, right? Or when other people carry your burdens for you. That's what we've been taught all our lives long. And if we want to be his disciples, we better unlearn all of that. And we better learn right now that our lives are not about ourselves. My life is not about me. It's about imitating him, especially in this. He sums it all up by saying this. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. That's the heart of the gospel right there. You want to find what your heart right now is yearning for more than anything else? Learn to let go of what you're clinging to. And whatever you do, please remember this. Don't expect Jesus Christ to always be consoling. And don't expect his words to always be easy. Jesus can be very demanding. Why? Because he knows what you're capable of. That's why. He knows what you're capable of. Remember that the founder of our church died on a cross, and our church was built on the blood of martyrs. Jesus can be very demanding because he knows what you're capable of, but most importantly, because he loves you. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.